that God will test us in that. Try to figure out if we're really going to go where he wants us to go in. See, sometimes we think when we say we're available, that means we get to go to the concerts and to somebody's house to eat. Usually it's in places like the guttermost, places that we would rather not be, in the crack houses and places like that, because nobody else is willing to go. So it's cute to sing it, and we've been singing that song, Lord, I'm available, for a long time. But if you look at the state of the world, I would venture to say that so many people are not really available. It's just lip service. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I come to have church. You know, it don't have to be on Sunday. I know it's politically correct to come on Sunday, but I'll come on Wednesday. Anytime I come to church, it needs to be something. I don't care what I'm doing. You can ask any of my friends. If I'm going to cook, I'm going to cook. Amen. I ain't going to pick up people off the box macaroni and cheese. Amen. I'm going to get it out and get the three cheeses and the pet milk. And all. Amen. If you're going to do it, do it. Hallelujah. Amen. If I'm going to work out, I ain't going to be like, you know, working out and eating a sandwich at the same time. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Amen. Somebody ain't with me. It's like you just doing too much already. Amen. But, you know, for real, I'm just here visiting. So, you know, really, I feel like I can be myself. And if y'all don't want to have me back, that's all right. Amen. I got a home. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm still glad to be here. Amen. Some of y'all still looking at me crazy, but I still love you anyhow. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much, Pastor Merlin, for inviting me to come and share in this most special occasion. I had the privilege and opportunity of meeting this awesome woman of God. Amen. Probably about 12 or 13 years ago when I was going to Denver Seminary, and I would just watch her from afar off, and she's just been such a blessing in my life, such humility, such wisdom, such grace, and I just appreciate her. And now that I work at the city and county of Denver, I get to see her a lot more. And every time I see her, I don't care what I was going through, just seeing her just makes me feel better. Amen. Do you have people like that in your life? On the other side, if you see other people in your life, you'd be like, oh my God. Tell the truth. This is okay. Amen. Amen. Some people, like, you know, some people did their hand like this underneath. Amen. It's all right. We still love them. Amen. But we got some cousins and stuff, amen? Right. Amen? That you kind of get yourself together when you see them, amen? I ain't the only one. My family, am I the only one? Amen. Brother King is bearing witness as well, amen? Amen. We still love them just the same, but there's certain people that are around your life that they bring joy. You feel like you have strength and you have courage, and that's what she does for me when she's in my presence, amen? And I do want to thank God for my daughters in the Lord who came with me today, amen? Sister Shakira, amen? And I have some smart kids. I really, really do, and I appreciate it. And they all are, and sometimes I get mad at them because they're so smart. And so, how many guys, smart kids, that make stupid mistakes sometimes? I'm just going to leave it right there. And Sister Melody. Amen. But they hear, and they, amen. I love them. I love them. Hallelujah. Amen. And Sister Melanie is also here, amen, who works with our Christian Education Department. Awesome, awesome. Just all of them are just awesome teachers and ministers of the Lord, and I appreciate them being here. Thank God for my husband, who obviously is, you know, watching over the flock at Landmark Ministries today and gave me permission to be here today. So I thank God for them today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I won't belabor the hour, and anybody who, I'm not a long-winded preacher, but I do talk fast, and I have to put that out there so people won't be like, you know, so don't be doing your neighbor like this. Oh, she's talking fast. Just tell them that now. I wish she'd slow down already. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm really glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So just want to pray and get to the word of God. And again, I have a friend also from work who came and told her that I was going to be sharing. I've just been bugging her about church and church and church. And she's here today. So praise God. I pray that right now that I've already been blessed. How many have already been blessed? How many have already been blessed? See, sometimes we're waiting on the main event. Amen. Whenever we get here, how many know that Jesus is already the main event? Amen. Sometimes at our church, we don't even get to the preach word. We're just so busy running and shouting and jumping, we don't get to it. Amen. Because if God showed up, why did you? God, have you ever seen it? Well, the Holy Ghost is something, then, you know, the preacher come up and like, amen. It's like, no, God is moving. So if he's riding, we need to stay with him. Amen. Hallelujah. God, we come to you right now. We are indeed grateful and thankful, Father, for this privilege and opportunity, Lord God, Father, for your word, Father. We thank you right now, Father, that the entrance of your word brings life. Father, we ask right now, God, Father, that we, Father, might be healed and delivered of your word, Father, even as we are challenged of it today, God. We ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, Father, you would cast off anything that hinders, Father, that we might be present with you, Lord God, Father, that you might have your way in this place, God. We are excited. We are in anticipation, Lord God, Father, for your word, Father, because we realize, Father, with no expectation, there will be no manifestation. So, God, we expect, Father, to receive today right now, Father. We don't expect business as usual, Lord God. We need a word from you, God. We need healing. We need deliverance, Lord. Lord God, Father, we need our joy restored. So God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, you will come in, Father, and all so simultaneously at the same time, give us all what we need. We're believing you for it, and we give God praise and glory for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen, amen. If you don't mind, just in reverence for the word of God, if you can just stand on your feet for just a few minutes, and we're going to go to your text found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And when you have it, can you please say amen? Amen. And this verse reads in this wise and says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, Lord, send me. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Since it's Women's Day, I think it's only befitting to look at a woman in the Bible for our character study today. And those who are with Landmark know that we have actually been doing a series on Esther, but as soon as I got the word from the woman of God, that's where I went, and my husband started preaching on it, and I'm just thinking, this is still where God told me to go. How many know there's a lot of manifestations and miracles in the same text? Amen. So we're going to go to the book of Esther, amen, and we've already had you stand, but I'm going to, if you don't mind just turning there with me, you don't have to stand, to Esther chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 10 and go through 16. The book of Esther, chapter 4. This is going to be our companion scripture for availability today. Amen. Esther chapter 4, verse 10, and it reads in this wise. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for these 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Amen. Amen. The book of Esther at first glance seems a strange account to find in the Bible. The name of God is not mentioned. Nothing is said about God, the temple, Jewish worship. No rules are laid down for living. The whole thing looks like a strictly secular narrative, a soap opera, a fairy tale at first. However, a deeper look reveals a deeper spiritual experience. We can learn lessons about the blessings of obedience and availability if we just take a closer look. So allow me to paraphrase this interesting and spiritually insightful narrative. Once upon a time, in the land of Persia, there lived a king named Ahasuerus. This king decided to have an exhibit for 180 days to display the wealth of his kingdom and the splendor of his majesty. That's 6 whole months. That's a long time to be showing off and parading around. And then at the end of the 180-day parade, he had a banquet for the whole city of Susa for 7 days. And that's a long time to be partying. It takes me almost a full week to prepare for Thanksgiving dinner for one day for friends and family to eat out paper plates and find a seat wherever you can. But this dude had a banquet, a formal meal, for 7 days with golden couches and golden goblins, each one custom made. And the king instructed that everybody could drink as much as they wanted. Now, back in the day, that's the kind of party we would have wanted to go to. Amen? So after the parade and the party, and it appears that King Ahasuerus got bored and ran out of things to do. So he decided that he would ask his wife Vashti to come and display her beauty to all the people and the princesses of the province. What are you saying, preacher? For entertainment, he decided that he would parade his wife around. Now you know that it's time for the party to be over now. Amen. And I'm sure like Vashti, like many like myself and many of the sisters I know, said, you've lost your mind. You've been drinking too much. I'm not dealing with you and your foolish friends. Boy, you better get out my face. I'm just talking about the sisters I know. I know that in this modern suburban society, maybe some of your friends would have said, whatever you like to maintain their status in upper echelon society. But the crowd I hang around with, not so much. You can have this house. You can have this car. It's just your stuff. And would burn up the stuff just to prove a point. I'm just talking about the crowd I hang around with. I'm talking about the saved gangsters that I hang around with. I know y'all don't have those kind of friends. So, but my friends, it's like we're going to get some more stuff. You can have this. Amen. Amen. It's old anyway. Yeah. So King Ahasuerus became angry and disgruntled with his wife, Queen Vashti, because she refused to be put on display, to be treated like a trophy, like a puppet, to be treated like a call girl. King Ahasuerus had an exhibit for 180 days to display his wealth and his kingdom and the splendor of his majesty because he's insecure. That's what you do when you're insecure. You show off. Yeah. So he did this for 6 months because he wants people all the world around the world to be impressed and enamored with him. So he was insecure and prideful, and in his mind, his wife is fronting him and dissing him, embarrassing him in front of his friends and in front of the whole kingdom. Something must be done. So at the council of his wise men, the three stooges, Laurel and Hardy, at the council of the women, of the wise men, he dethroned and excommunicated Queen Vashti and held the world's first beauty pageant to determine who would replace Queen Vashti. The king's servants saw beautiful young virgins throughout the land to prepare for entry into this contest. And for one full year, the beautiful young virgins would be pampered and prepped with perfumes and oils and beauty treatments before they could even go into the king. And Hadassah, who we know as Esther, who was of Jewish descent, was chosen to be in the contest. And as fate would have it, she received first place and was crowned queen in place of Vashti. Records suggest that Esther was not well known in the Jewish community before receiving her position as queen. And even after her appointment as queen at the council of her uncle Mordecai, she did not reveal that she was of Jewish descent. So here we have Hadassah, a flesh and blood woman with a Cinderella story, from rags to riches, living the good life. And they lived happily ever after. That's not really what happened. During Queen Esther's reign, there was a proud prince, the prime minister of Persia, Haman, whom the king had promoted, and the king commanded that all of his royal officials and servants would bow down and pay homage to and reverence to Haman. But Mordecai, Queen Esther's uncle, would not bow down to Haman, and he was enraged and sent forth a decree that not only Mordecai, but all of Mordecai's people, all Jewish people throughout the kingdom, would be destroyed. It reminds me of somebody today that's running for office, but I ain't going to say nothing more about it. Since you don't like me, you and all your friends, I'm going to sue the whole country, amen, because you won't bow down to me. Nothing's really changed. Satan's still trying to do the same thing today. He sent out a decree to destroy all God's people, even though God has placed purpose in you. I'm going to help somebody in just a minute. When Mordecai heard of Haman's plot to destroy his people, he put on sackcloth and ashes, symbolic of mourning and despair, and cried loudly throughout the city streets. When he got to the king's gate, he sent word to his niece, Queen Esther, who had raised as his own daughter, to go before the king and make intercession for all of the people. But Esther didn't jump at the opportunity. She thought about the good life that she was living and what was at stake. She made excuses about why she couldn't go in to petition the king, because going before the king without an invitation, according to Persian law, could mean death. You just didn't show up to the royal court without an invitation. But Uncle Mordecai reminded her who she really was. Don't forget what you came from. Don't take your privilege for granted. Don't think because you passed for not being black. Don't think because your hair don't need a perm. And because your lips ain't as thick as mine. Don't. Sometimes we got to be reminded from where we came from. Not because we're trying to condemn each other with our past raggedy, degenerate lives, but because sometimes we get beside ourselves and we forget to reach back. And reach out and help somebody because we're in the palace now. We're in big, pretty houses now. We're in corporate America now. We're in the suburban community now. We're in church now. And we're not in the same class. We don't run in the same circles anymore. But God is saying, don't forget where you came from and what I delivered you from. Hadassah, don't forget you're also a Jew. I know you gave yourself a new fasting name and you call yourself Esther to go with your new setter, but Hadassah? Dasa, Das, D. Can't nobody get with you like family and remind you of who you are. So Hadassah, if we die, you'll die because the secret of your heritage will not be kept. Nobody can peep card like your family. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know where you came from, the deep part of the country. You can't eat collard greens no more. You have to eat kale. You can't drink Kool-Aid no more. You have to have lattes and green tea. Hadassah, if you die, I don't care if you eat kale or not, you're going to die too. So don't get it twisted just because you're in the palace now. Don't get it twisted because you moved from the country, because the country is still in you. And furthermore, God can and will use somebody else, but he chose you. Are you available? God has prepared you for such a time as this. God has given you favor with the king. He's given you a royal robe and placed a crown on your head for such a time as this. There's purpose in you. Queen Esther is confronted with quite a challenging crisis. Like many of us, she had worked her way up from the ghetto to the ladder of success. And you know how we bourgeois black people are. We come to the 8 o'clock services so we can have the rest of the day to ourselves. And our jobs just keep us a little bit too involved to be involved in real ministry. And so our spirituality has been relegated to Sunday mornings to please our constituents because our religion becomes a private thing and we structure our ministries around our worldly schedules. And we're in the park jazz festivals and Bronco games. And weave appointments and soccer games and activities. And I know I'm talking right. If it wasn't one in the house, I wouldn't be saying it. Amen. And secrecies of the people so that our ministries will be successful. So we really don't want to talk about the cost of discipleship, the cost of being available. The question at hand is really not discipleship, it's discipleship. It's the cost of being available. The question is not whether or not you and I are enough to use. The question or the affirmation is, do you know, do you realize that you're enough for God to use? Do you realize the power and potential that God has placed within you? I realized that I really wasn't qualified to be the queen in the first place, so I don't want to speak out of turn or blow my cover. This is what Esther's saying. To be told in our own strength, our own merit, none of us are really qualified to be used by God. But because of his grace, because of his mercy, he takes our broken pieces and our shattered dreams and our mutilated lives and our warped thinking and he dusts us off with the breath of life and washes us with the word and renews us with his anointing and baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and says, yeah, you're enough for me to use, but are you available? I know what I placed on the inside of you. You're wonderfully and you're fearfully made. There's a queen in you, because you were created in my image and my likeness, so it's in your DNA to be great. Forget all the excuses. I know where you've been. I know what you've done. And I know where you came from. It's not because of your degrees. It's not because of your socioeconomic status. It's because I put my spirit on the inside of you. Are you available? And oftentimes, like Queen Esther, we are confronted with a real life Satan-sized problem, and we need to make decisions that could possibly cost us our lives or at minimum friends who we thought were our friends, or position or title or status that we've grown accustomed to. See, we promoted this false theology that if you love God, it's synonymous with health and wealth, and we've reduced God to an idol that would give us houses and lands and comfortable, convenient lives and stuff. But that don't line up with Scripture. That's a lie. Life is messy. Life can be hard. People die. Good people die. Christian folk get sick. People, saved people, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, people lose their jobs. And people who used to be your friends just decide one day they just don't want to be your friends no more. And sometimes you'll never know why. People that you tried to help will dog you out. Husbands that said to death do us part will sometimes walk out. Life is messy, even if you're a queen. So now Esther is beginning to see that she has been called to ministry, not success, or at least the kind of success that the world would deem successful. See, our cultures since the beginning of our time are ego-driven. Be all that you can be, so that I can be noticed and seen and receive recognition, and everybody likes me and thinks I'm pretty cute. But nothing in the Word of God speaks to that kind of life. Everything in the Word of God speaks to servanthood, being used by God, being used for his service, taking no account of a suffered wrong, considering other people better than yourself. So after considering the words of Mordecai, Esther decided to put her life on the line for a cause, a good cause, a godly cause. And she used all the skills she could muster up to get a successful outcome. Let's briefly preview how God worked and used Esther through this beauty, through her beauty and through her shrewdness to outwit the king and his clever yet not so clever Prime Minister Haman. See, I'm glad it didn't take Esther a long time to get a reality check. See, when we delay in fulfilling our potential, we forget that we were created for God's purpose. You'll think that you were created to be great. You'll forget that you were created so that God's greatness could be revealed through you. Notice that Esther, after she got the assignment, did not immediately run to the palace and shout and demand, "Let my people go!" First, she declared a fast for everybody. Everybody needs to pray. All the Jewish people prayed, and she petitioned the saints of God to pray and fast for 3 days. A holocaust, a death sentence, has been decreed upon all the Jewish inhabitants of Persia. So we need a word from the Lord. We need help from the Lord. So we need to seek the Lord. So before going to the king, Esther fasted for 3 days to increase her weakness and her dependence on the Lord. In other words, she made herself available to the Lord. Eating didn't matter. Amen. And on the third day, Queen Esther took off her mourning clothes and got dressed up and put on her queenly garb. I'm sure after 3 days of fasting, she didn't feel like getting dressed up, but she was on a mission. She didn't go into the king with rollers in her hair and sweatpants. You know, I've been married for 31 years, so some days, most days, I'm going to get better, amen. Is this side? Let me make sure these sides are down, right? So she got all dialed up, and Esther approached the entrance open to the inner court. She violated the law even in coming into the inner court. You were only allowed to go into the inner court upon invitation, but she said, if I perish, let me perish. I'm going to see the king. At the far end of the hall, 250 feet away, the king was resplendent in his gold-covered throne, holding the golden scepter, symbolic of his power. His trappings and surroundings were to impress and intimidate you. The gold throne was rich fabrics shimmered in the distance. Esther, weak from food, breathlessly watched the scepter. Would it move? Or must she die? If I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. The scepter moving, Esther walked the long length of the hall, but at the end of it, she saw the scepter extended for a touch. Once again, Esther's beauty captivated the king. The king knew no trivial matter would have made Esther take such a risk without even knowing what she wanted. Just seeing the queen, he said, "Baby, what do you want? I'll give it to you, even if it's half of the kingdom." See, Esther was dressed for success, and when the king saw that she had his favor, but more than that, God had prepared the way because she made herself available because of her obedience. Notice the strategy. My desire, your majesty, is for you and Haman to come to a banquet that I have prepared for you. I made some catfish. I made some collard greens. some hot water cornbread, and for dessert, I made peach cobbler. And the king responded, tell Haman to come quickly. What's the principle? She's appeasing to her husband's senses. First, by the sense of sight, she put on her best to come before the king, and secondly, by preparing a feast for him. Where do you think the term came from? A way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So what lessons can we learn from the queen? Don't rush. Take your time. If you wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. But we must wait for the right time. Amen. Esther didn't blurt out irritation and condemnation. Esther gives us a model of regarding of how to make a difficult request. The time had not yet come for her to speak yet. She first had to capture the king's heart, not only with her beauty, but with her intelligence and good judgment. She planned to ask him to reverse a law of the kingdom. Not a small request. The wrong decision, talking too much or speaking at the wrong time, could possibly cause the destruction of a whole nation. The wrong decision, talking too much or speaking at the wrong time, could possibly cause the destruction of a home, a friendship, a church. And while they were eating and drinking wine, the king said to Esther, now come and tell me what you really want, even if it's up to half the kingdom. He knew that she really just didn't want to have dinner. We know how we do our husbands sometimes. Amen. Maybe y'all don't do that. You got to be the right time. Amen. So you cook and you clean and, you know, and those are the days I do roll my hair. Amen. You got to. But she said, please just come and have dinner again with me tomorrow. And then I'll reveal to you what this is all about. See, when we make ourselves available to God, he gives us the patience that we need. See, God was working with King Ahasuerus that night after dinner. He couldn't sleep. I don't know if he had heartburn or if he ate too much greens and peach cobbler, but he couldn't sleep. So he decided to read the Chronicles because they didn't have cable back then. And Esther 6 reason says this, that night the king had trouble sleeping. So he ordered an attendant to bring historical records of his kingdom so they could be read to him. In those records, he discovered an account of how Mordecai had exposed the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the eunuchs who guarded the door of the king's private quarters. They had plotted to assassinate the king. What reward or recognition did we give to Mordecai for this? The king asked. His attendant said, nothing has ever been done. Who is that at the outer court? The king inquired. Now, as it happened, because he's sovereign, because God is sovereign, Haman had just arrived in the outer court of the palace to ask the king to hang Mordecai from the gallows he had prepared. So the attendant replied to the king, Haman is out there, bring him in, the king ordered. So Haman came in, and the king said, what should I do to honor a man who truly pleases me? And Haman thought to himself, whom would the king wish to honor more than me? So he replied, if the king wishes to honor someone, he should bring out one of the king's royal robes as well as the king's own horses with a royal emblem on his head. Instruct one of the king's most noble princes to dress the man in the king's robe to lead him through the inner city square on the king's own horse. Have the prince shout as they go. This is what happens to those who the king wishes to honor. Excellent, the king said. Hurry and get the robe in my horse and do just as you have said for Mordecai, the Jew, who sits at the gate of the palace. Do not fail to carry out everything you have suggested. God will make your enemies your footstools if you're available. So Haman took the robe and put it on Mordecai, placed it on the king's own horse, and led him through the city square shouting, this is what happens to those who the king wishes to honor. Afterward, Mordecai returned to the palace, but Haman hurried home, dejected and completely humiliated. Sometimes we need to thank God for sleepless nights. Every time we can't sleep, it's not because we're having a heartburn. Don't get mad when God keeps you awake at night, praying for somebody. Lives, kingdoms, families, nations are at stake. If he wakes you up in the middle of the night, say, Lord, I'm available. I'm your servant. I'm lifting. I'm listening. Something happens when we pray late in the midnight hour. And God turns it around for our favor. So verse 13, when Haman told his wife Jerush and all his friends what had happened, they said, since Mordecai, this man who has humiliated you, is a Jew, you will never succeed in your plans against him. It would be fatal for you to continue to oppose him. While they were still talking, the king's eunuchs arrived to take Haman to the banquet Esther had prepared. The next day at the banquet, Esther reveals the plot of wicked Haman and his plans to destroy her people. And as many of you are aware, a whole nation was spared because of one woman's obedience. Because of one woman's availability. How many know that God has placed the same power on the inside of us? See, grace paves the way for success. Esther's act of obedience impacted a whole nation. I want to admonish somebody today to begin with your families, your friends, your churches. You are enough for God to use. Satan has sent forth a decree. Can't you see it today in our community? He sent forth a decree to destroy our families, our churches, our nations. A young black man who was just, another one was just shot again last night. Every week we're hearing. So he sent forth a decree. And if we're not available, nations are at stake. Families are at church. People don't even reverence the church the way they used to. See, I know Pastor Merlin, I know the word on the inside of her. I know Pastor Bill and the word on the inside of him. Our churches should be filled. But people are not making themselves available to the things of God anymore. Queens, I need to let you know you can't deliver God's people. We can't deliver God's people if we don't read the deliverance manual. It's in the Word. We can't deliver God's people if we're thankful and we're complaining all the time. Because it'll always be about us. Queens, we can't deliver God's people if we keep getting offended over stupid stuff all the time. Again, I submit to you that we all are queens. God has placed purpose in each and every one of us if we make ourselves available. See, a lot of times we want the whole plan and the whole strategy before we say yes. But my Bible tells me that he leads us every step of the way, which means he doesn't reveal the whole plan because he wants to know if he can just trust you with a step. Can he trust you with just a step today? See, little becomes much when we place it in his hands. And if you're faithful over the little, then he'll make you ruler over. Can he trust you with just a step? Can he trust you with just a thank you? Can he just trust you with I'll go? Can he just trust you just to forgive today? That's all he's asking of us today, is to be available. And when we're available, he reveals his plans. He reveals his strategies. Then deliverance is manifested. One woman was obedient and the whole nation was spared. And whenever we see God moving through our scripture, you can see that it doesn't take much. We look at the story of Joshua, and he was thrown in the pit, and he was available. And the whole nation was able to eat again. Moses said, I'll lead the people into the promised land, one man. And because of his obedience, they were spared from captivity. And see, we keep marginalizing the power that God has placed on the inside of us. It doesn't matter where we've been. God knows what he placed in you. Even the messes in your life, he will use them. I came from East St. Louis. I don't know if you guys know anything about East St. Louis. That's the real hood. See, y'all think the Five Points is something. No. My whole city. But he took a little girl all the way out from East St. Louis, Illinois, to tell you today that you're enough for God to use. He'll erase your future and give you your past and give you a new future. If you're available today, can't you just slip up your hands as an act of submission to the Lord? See, it just takes one step. And as you're doing that, just pray and say, God, I'm available. Speak it out of your mouth. Speak it in the atmosphere. God, I'm available. And he's listening. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's been broken pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Take me to the King. If you want to come to the King today, I invite you to the altar. Options are